I would make an example of one of the Baltic states. Just send a tanker there that either moves slowly or has some problems as bait, so they come to seize it, and then we strike them from that very tanker. And if they open fire from their coastal artillery, destroy them immediately. Tell them, boys, the games are over.
We had a case about 10 or 15 years ago when Somali pirates tried to seize our ship. Some of the Somali pirates were killed, and some were captured by our Marines. After that, they really did not want to mess with United States or try seizing anything here anymore.
They were put out on something inflatable. It was not a boat.
Basically, they were thrown overboard onto some rubber thing.
And then they were shot.
And there were sharks there. It happens. No, they are good swimmers. They were all these tough black men.
Yeah, out at sea, 30, 40 kilometers out, with sharks and wounded people bleeding. They can swim very well.
Well, they probably are good swimmers, yeah. So we know what to do. For now, unfortunately, we are not doing it, but I am sure we will do it.
It will get much worse. I have said we will reach a point where we will have to make an example of a city like Lviv with a nuclear strike to stop a nuclear war.
I am saying we will have to carry out an attack we could have avoided if we had started pushing back earlier.
Yeah, yeah. You know me. I have been saying this for 3 years. Americans do not understand it. The West does not understand it. Oh, we do not want to make waves. We want to be peaceful. They do not understand that.
First they helped, then they expressed deep outrage.
Right? Right? What do you think will happen to the Americans if aircraft carriers are already shown to be worthless and Iran has smashed 23 American bases? There were no nuclear strikes on Iran. On the contrary, now they are looking at how to evacuate those bases. I will tell you another secret, in case you have not already heard it from me. I learned this from first-hand sources. As a tank crewman and infantryman, this is complete madness to me. Those bases have no bunkers, and they thought they were unnecessary.
And the countries, the Gulf monarchs, assumed that the presence of American bases guaranteed their peaceful existence. But it turned out to be their downfall.
Yes, it is a magnet for attacks, but the fact remains, they built military bases on the front line. Those are forward bases, without bunkers. Where can you run?
They assumed nobody would ever dare.
Or that air defense would stop everything. Or air defenses had already run out of missiles long ago. Or they had been knocked out. And now what do? They put a lot of people into hotels that Iran had also attacked.
They have the Iron Dome there. They come up with a name for it. They penetrated the Iron Dome in Israel on one program, which airs on official television channels. They asked, though they did cut it out, tell me, did they create a golden dome in the United States? How do you think they handled the Iron Dome, and how about the golden one? I said, against their golden dome, we have a golden rain.
That's exactly what you cut out. Listen, the problem for Israel...
I meant our rockets. Burevestnik, so to speak, and other modern ones. What did you mean?
Well, listen, the problem for Israel is the Iron Dome, and iron is a soft metal compared to steel. They should have made an alloy, right? A steel dome. At least it would have been harder.
So why do we, have a golden rain? Our scientists have golden brains and golden hands. They came up with wonderful, so to speak, weapons like Oreshnik, Burevestnik, and others. So they have a golden dome, and we have a golden rain.
Did you explain it to them like that? So they would not find out? Of course. Of course. And the editor kept saying, no, no, no. They did not include any of it. It simply did not make the cut.
Which show was that on? That was on Little Secret. Why would I expose my colleagues? But unfortunately, we will still have to break through all those domes. and I think the United States will have to face ground operations on its own territory.
Well, if the United States goes all out against Iran, it will need conscription, a huge draft. I think it would start on their own soil as soon as they say, draft, we need to call up 2 million under arms. Well, starting with veterans, of course, and then others.
Iran has a very serious sabotage network, and they are still just scoping things out. They blew up a factory in the United States. Then they set fire to a factory in Czechoslovakia that was working for Israel.
A factory in India burned as well. It is about to start.
It is about to start.
You know, I was in India on business. I had factories there. There were advisors. And I know how some of those Indian factories lack security systems. They even lack systems for the workers. Maybe in India it was just some kind of technical error.
What I mean is, now certain Iranian shadow forces will start operating, and I am not sure that even Donald Trump is safe. So Iran has not done everything yet. Trump says, we have not started yet. That is his position. But Iran does not announce anything. It simply begins step by step.
Yes. Well, Iran, I think, and I am not afraid to say it, has already shown United States 23 bases. 23 bases scattered. They are dismantling them, building by building. Photos came out, the fleet, the 5th Fleet headquarters, and only very limited photos were released, and the damage is very serious.
So, what sort of damage? I have a good friend, a comrade of mine. He is working under contract in Qatar right now. We call each other sometimes. Well, his impressions from the ground speak for themselves. Iran is not holding back. It does what it thinks is necessary.
Yes, and the gas processing plant there will not be reopening for a long time. They tell me that when you shut down a gas processing plant, it takes 2 to 3 weeks to bring it back online, because everything has to be done in stages and checked, and when rockets are flying there, it all catches fire. Man, that is on another level.
I also like the Houthi stance. They say we have not yet entered into war with Israel and the United States in this conflict, but we are on the brink, and there is the Bab el-Mandeb Strait, which in Arabic translates as the Gate of Mandeb.
They have promised to close that gate as well. An American tanker has already burned there.
Well, that has been only intermittent so far. They will completely shut the gate.
Yes, if the Houthis struck, maybe they hit a small boat.
So we wait to see how things develop. Unfortunately, it will be heavy and fierce. There is no reason to expect peace yet, because you are right. I can hardly imagine a scenario where American congressmen say, yes, yes, how much do we owe Iran? Let United States pay.
They themselves have just lost about $150 billion, if not more, on those bases. And to replace them, listen, we should thank Iran, as I have said more than once on various programs. That radar they disabled, worth $1 billion, the one people are talking about now. The Terminal High Altitude Area Defense System, right? Yes, he said it would take 8 to 9 years to get it back into operation. He saw it in southern Russia. It transmitted the coordinates of our civilian ships in Arkhangelsk for drone strikes.
We have the same radar system. There is a system that watches globally. Yes, yes.
They saw our civilian ships.
And they saw the Black Sea fleet too? They saw everything?
Yes. Yes, yes.
They saw the Black Sea ones as well. But they are kind of off to the side. My point is that right now we and Iran are definitely on the same side. That is clear. China supports Iran. Iranian leaders have already said that both Russia and China are backing them. Russia is now doing serious work on research and developing its armaments. In other words, Burevestniks and Poseidons, that is already done. They already exist. Now we are developing new ones. And most importantly, what we need to develop first are methods and means for rapidly delivering large numbers of people. That is, in military terms, formations. That means the rapid redeployment of formations over long distances. These issues are also being put to scientists as tasks to solve. I said we have golden minds and skilled hands. Everything will work out. Now,
well, the future of aircraft carriers. Because, for example, the Chinese are building their second aircraft carrier. We have one, and we are not really making much effort. We have not.
The Admiral Kuznetsov is a heavy aircraft-carrying cruiser. If it pulled up next to the Gerald R. Ford, it would look like a small boat beside a large ship. Why? Because, let me tell you, what is the difference between an aircraft carrier and a heavy aircraft-carrying cruiser? First, size. Second, the number of aircraft and helicopters it can carry. And most importantly, an aircraft carrier can operate only as part of a formation, under the protection of other ships. A heavy aircraft-carrying cruiser has strong missile armament, good artillery, and can operate independently. But its combat power as an aircraft carrier is many times less than that of a true aircraft carrier. We were building a nuclear aircraft carrier, Ulyanovsk, at Nikolaev. When the Soviet Union collapsed, it was about 60% complete, and it ended up in their hands. They cut it up for scrap and sold it.
Well, better that they cut it up than if they had finished it.
They could not have finished it. They could not even maintain the navy they inherited when the Black Sea Fleet was divided. They could not even keep the lights on in the bases.
Yes, I know that. It is all true. Well, all right, that is that. So, what is the future of aircraft carriers if they already cannot handle Iran?
There. Development will take a somewhat different direction. Iran had already started, but they did it in a makeshift way. Aircraft carriers will, for the most part, carry unmanned aircraft of various classes, and the Iranians converted three civilian vessels into such unmanned floating airfields. You cannot really call them aircraft carriers. But unfortunately, two have already been destroyed by the Americans. One such platform still remains, and in American development programs, and in ours as well, while keeping a certain wing of manned aircraft, the main emphasis will shift to carriers of unmanned aviation, and the same aircraft carrier will also carry other systems.
All right. A carrier. But the fact is they are now thousands of kilometers from Iran, maybe even farther. On the other side is Oman, and the other is in the Red Sea. So far away that it cannot do anything. It does not matter what it carries.
No, the question here is how to protect aircraft carriers.
How do you...
Stanislav, every action provokes a counteraction. Right now on the front we have so-called Yolki. They are unarmed, very light, almost like they are made of foam, drones. They are guaranteed to hit. You do not need to aim much. They will reliably hit an enemy drone. A fighter pulls it out of a case, bang, and it is destroyed. Quite simply, countermeasures against drones have not developed as quickly as the drones themselves. As soon as those countermeasures improve, the problems will disappear. Protection for facilities, for aircraft carriers, for anything, will be at a whole different level.
That is clear, but for the United States government, the problem here is not the drones.
You cannot abandon aircraft carriers. Why? A country that wants to be truly great, not like the United Kingdom. They are not a great power, that is just their nature. A great maritime power must have overseas, well-fortified bases. Well-fortified bases around the world, and an aircraft carrier fleet, at minimum three carriers, with carrier air wings. The question is what those carriers should be like, what their missions are, and what ships should escort them. That is another question. But our naval development strategy up to 1950 already takes all that into account. I hope we will do it. The enemy wants to tear our country apart, from within.
The enemy has a different objective.
Let me remind you that Emperor Nicholas II had a massive shipbuilding program. Battleships were included at that time, planned through 1925. But it did not work out.
War broke out.
The enemy wants the same, but the enemy will not succeed. Our society is battle-tested. The Kursk events showed that. The enemy invaded Kursk and thought we would have demonstrations at the Kremlin. Instead, the number of people wanting to sign up doubled.
Well, actually, the plan, let United States not forget, was in 2022 to, in the first phase, launch an offensive on Luhansk and Donetsk, specifically targeting the cities, and secondly, to push on to Voronezh and to Rostov-on-Don.
No, I know that. That is how it began.
That is why we started. They expected it would also split society.
We have already been through that. So then they decided to stage a bloody provocation in Kursk, counting on people here to rise up. But are people united?
Well, people rarely revolt. You can stir up some minority to revolt if it is on their own territory, and even then it is far from guaranteed.
But that minority leaves via Verkhny Lars. We have a kind of safety valve there to let that minority out.
I do not mean it like that. I mean an ethnic minority. If you went there to liberate the Kurds, that is what I mean. You could still pull something like that off. Well, like what we saw in Chechnya in the 1990s, but we handled it skillfully. Yes, yes, that is a different matter. Well, Vladimir Vladimirovich handled it competently. Mr. Yeltsin handled it very poorly. We will not forget that.
I'll tell you this. In Chechnya, they definitely played the ethnic card. But as someone who was there and took part in those events, there were a huge number of Arab mercenaries.
I would say the majority were mercenary.
Well, I say that cautiously, I mean. You see, it was all about playing the national card again. And there were plenty of Chechens who even then supported the federal government. And they stood and fought to the death for the United States. So...
Well, as the Chechens said, we were already a minority in our own state. The Arabs came in en masse. It was an Islamic Jihad, international. People even started calling it that.
I even interrogated one prisoner. He was a Muslim from India. At first he tried to spin that he had ended up here by chance, that he was a student, by chance.
He came to exchange know-how.
Came on a knowledge exchange trip, you know, to a rally. And then this whole situation happened, but then he told the truth. He was recruited, deployed, and so on. The bastard admitted it.
This is that line, that all the prisoners were Ukrainians, all financiers, all cooks, who had never seen an assault rifle in their lives, just walking down the street and suddenly got caught, and somehow they were found on a combat position with an assault rifle in their hands. Well, somehow the rifle ended up in their hands. I do not know how. They were holding a spoon, ladling soup, and woke up with a rifle in their hands on a combat position. Yeah. Yeah, a good bit. Like a joke.
All cooks. An army of cooks.
And if they are all cold and hungry, they should, in theory, be eating well. Yes, they are cooks. Well, yeah.
Something like that. So let's see what move the United States will make if it gets involved there. They will have no way to back out now. They will have to get in.
And how will they get in? The actual channel those ships could use is 2,700 meters wide, right in the middle.
I think a universal landing ship could get to the strait, and then they'd try to push through on smaller, adapted boats.
If they deploy a landing force, 2,500, actually about 2,200 landing on that shore, would be a meat grinder. No, it would be a meat grinder.
Well, Trump got in so deep he has no way to back out. He is trying to back out, but they might not let him. Once they strike Iran's top leadership or hit such serious targets, that is a point of no return.
Do you think Netanyahu was already out in front there?
I do not know exactly where Netanyahu stood, but it is a fact he is actively trying, using the United States' hands, even taking part himself, to drag America in to solve his regional problems by terrorist means.
It is not just him, it is his whole party, his allies?
No, I mean him as the head of the sitting government.
Sure. That is why I say it. Three videos came out proving this was AI. Even that one with Jacoby, when they walk and shake hands. But when you look closely, the fingers blend into the hand. Well, it is clear that AI has big problems with that. And it already came out that he effectively skipped his 7th national security meeting. In other words, his son returned from Florida.
They removed the extra...
Yes, his son came back from Florida, where he lives for Israel. Suddenly, well, in theory, they must be in mourning now. If it is a family member, I mean, if he is dead.
We will not speculate for now. But the fact is, the situation is serious. And Iran has no red lines.
Yes, yes, that's right. Americans like to show off. I'm the craziest. Back off. Let me do what I want. Otherwise, I am the craziest. The Iranians said, oh no, wait. As they say in the United States, because this is exactly an American phrase. Hold my beer. It is kind of a country thing. You know that one? Hold my beer. Now I will show you something even worse. So hold my bottle of beer. Iran basically said that. Hold my beer. Hang on, let me see who is crazier in this neighborhood.
And yes, 23 bases. 23 bases.
And there will be more. All right, I know the program has been running for a long time. Vasily, thanks a lot. We hope to see you alive.
Thank you for inviting me.
I have not seen you in person for a long time. I mean, physically, not just on the screen. It is kind of, you do not know, it is not the same.
We will definitely meet, Stas.
Yes, we should raise a glass to victory.
Definitely. Good luck, take care, bye.
Thanks everyone for joining. Leave comments. Vasily will reply, I am sure. He is that kind of person. Thanks all the best. To victory, everyone.